This life is very, very funny to me now. It's the only way I can look at it, because if I become deadly serious about it, I would have to reconstruct myself. I'm 49 years old. It's a reality. 49, I'm jogging out on the street, running, and a little pain went into the knee, and a little felt like a knife, you know, and I said, whoa, what is that, you know, and when I was younger, you know, something like that happened, I just say, whap, you know, and you can't do that at 49. Your leg, you do like that, and they say, what's the matter with you? Didn't you hear us when we first spoke to you? Make it deeper. And I'm angry with it now, because this is a body, and I was an athlete, and I know if something like that hurts, you just take it and kick it out even harder. Yeah, whap, and then it went down here. Went down to the ankle, and the ankle turned over, and then it came up to the hip, and I had it in the hip, and then the knee, and then the ankle, and the whole leg was like this. And all of a sudden, I came to my senses, and I said, stop! And I walked, and it didn't hurt when I walked. I said, well, it must be all right. So I started to run again, and everything came right back. I had to rebehave. Get a little twitch in the shoulder when I was in my 20s, and boom, gone, because it wasn't set right, you know. 49, and then it went down to my hand. And I tried to shake that out, and it went around at the back. And my leg went out again. And my body said, I'm not fooling. And I said, yes, sir. Get a little thing underneath here when I'm running? Stop. Yes, sir. What do you want to do? Sit down. Where? Right here. That's fine. Can't do that. You got to rebehave. Making noises now. Noises. My father used to make. My father had a body like this one when I first noticed him. He had a gut, and he had things on the side. And when he took his shirt off, he had slices all up here. And he'd put on a shirt, and the shirt went all the way down and covered up his belt. And he'd sit in a position like this, and it would come down, and all of it was smooth. The whole shirt smoothed out all. And I could hear him sit down. Yeah, he'd sit down. He's. And he'd get up and made even more noise. Rawr! I was in my teens, and I'd look at him, I'd say, God, man, I don't know why. I never thought that at one time when my father was 17, he had a great body. And I never thought that I would inherit that body. But it's here now. That 49 body. Lost my pecs. Don't have any pecs. Used to have great pecs. Only thing left now, I got two dark dots. But certainly not anything there that'll help to lift. When I was young, I ate two steaks. Football, training table, two steaks. Didn't chew them, just ate them. Give me a wow, how, people say, "Oh, look at that boy eat." You know, the higher potatoes, right? Never tasted a thing. Took 2 quarts of milk. How about half? Drank it so fast, got a headache across it, closed this eye. Dessert, go up to the thing, so I'd like 3 slices of cake. Oh, look at that boy eat. And one small burp. That's all.
Worked.
And that was it. And never, never, everything was flat. Never showed a hump or anything. Now, 49, have a roll. Thing starts to grow. Gas starts to come up. Raise my right arm to get rid of it. Get a group of 49, 50-year-old people sitting there talking, and all of them going. So I get whiplash. So I. Yes, old chap. Now, I think there's a period, this period of 49 on to whatever, and then it goes away. It goes away. Because my father's in his 70s now, and he doesn't have any of that. He comes in, as a matter of fact, he doesn't have a gut anymore. His body's just slim, and he isn't on a diet. It's just a natural thing. He eats less. He eats like a bird. Doesn't eat I remember my father being very proud of himself. He said, "You know, I've never been full." Now, just a little bit of this and a little pinch of that and something, and he gets up and, "No, I'm full. Dad, don't you want some pie?" No pie, thank you. It isn't because his doctor said, it's just he just doesn't have that appetite. But now I want to eat. I love to eat. I mean, it's just the moment, man. Come on, dear, let's go out to a restaurant, sit there and look at that menu and say, "Well, I will have the so far, put it on puff de piff. Please, how do you do that?" "Well, we put it in the little sauce of the salt de piff and put a small good." "Yeah, that's what I own. Close. Enough said here. That's all I do. I just want to see it." And it comes sizzling in the sauce and things, just eating. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look around, see if I didn't take the bread. Take that bread. This is good bread. That bread, tear that bread, pull it, and it says sop around the plate. And it's just, so I don't look too bad. Leave the little finger up, you know. Just put it around. You try to look nice about the whole thing. Now it's sitting there. Me. Go to the Italian restaurant. Italian restaurants, they're never finished with what you're eating. They bring it to you. So here you have the pasta thing, and you go, right, you know, and you start to dig in. They say, "Would you like a little thing?" I say, no, thank you. And then you start, and he said, "Would you like a little thing?" They're always putting something on it as you're eating. You're a little, "No, let's let me eat, man." 7 bowls of pasta just sitting right there. This is a picture of a man with great guilt. Because I've just killed myself. Hope it doesn't go to my heart right away. Finish dinner, perhaps walk home. If the restaurant's close enough, walk home, back to the house, take off the clothes. That's the difficult part. Clothes. Oh, yes. I have a 38-inch waist. Not bad. When I look at myself, I suck in, so it isn't that bad. I've learned to look at myself and say, not bad. Not bad. Suck in, turn sideways, not bad. Not really bad. Inch waist. Go to get underpants, wear jockey shorts. I buy 34. 34, because they will stretch out to about 50. Like a pair of jockey shorts. What size, sir? 34. Oh, so would you like them gift wrapped? Put the jockey shorts on, and around this part, very, very tight, cutting the blood off, leg getting numb. Take a pair of scissors, cut them up the side, let the leg breathe. Didn't know that fat collected here. I wish there was a way to sit on the toilet with clothes on. Because when you're naked, you see it all. And especially in this position. And you look down and you see just fat. And you look up, you say, I don't believe that. But it's right there, all of us sitting right there. And I know it's fat because I've pinched it. And it doesn't hurt. The fat has no nerve in it. I just pinch it, get out of here. And I get up, put those underpants on, and the elastic, which is about an inch wide, an inch and a half, goes all the way around, and that presses. So underneath that, fat pokes out. And above it is the pushing up of the fat. So I get my trousers, which are 36, putting a lot of pressure on the button. Suck in. Fasten it, and you can feel pants going. And then the little metal thing is going, it's opening up on you, just starting to open up. You just hold on, boys. I'm going to dinner. Going to dinner. Thank goodness the stomach's way up here. It'll take a while before it comes down here. But all I'm doing is, when I eat, I fill this out so that this is all smooth and round. Get up and finish the dinner! Sound like my father. Now I come home, get undressed. Food is here, and the fat is here. You bend over! And my stomach is mashing against my thigh. And I can get this hand down. Or I'll do my shift. Maybe if I just do it with one hand. Can't do it. Got to do it with two. Mashing. Eyes feel like they're going to pop out. Sit back and rest. Woo! Want to talk to God. If you don't mind, God, could you just either give me longer arms or put the feet up here? That way I can take my shoes off and not press on anything. Climb into the bed like this and see this thing. I've got to lose weight. Start to turn, and this starts to go before me. I looked in the mirror when I was 217, And my navel was all the way in the back. I could put my finger this far into my navel. My navel does not want to see light anymore. And the most embarrassing thing, and more than triglycerides or cholesterol, the thing that started me on a diet was the day I came out of the shower. Most embarrassing time of my life. I got out of the shower, grabbed a towel, dried myself off. That's fine. Pick up the toothbrush, knocked it on the floor, bent over to pick it up, and water about a half a cup of water came out of my navel, and it was loud when it hit the floor too. And I said, no, this is it. I gotta get in shape, go on a diet. 49, hairline's receding. Yeah, lost about a quarter of an inch up here. Just keeps going back. I keep looking at pictures of myself some time ago, holding it up, looking, yeah, there it is, going back. Little dips and stuff are showing up that I never saw before when I was combing it. Hairline, receding. Not growing hair up here anymore. Yet, I'm still growing hair. Don't understand that. Why is it that I can't grow hair up here? I'm growing hair in places where I don't need hair. I was shaving, looked in the mirror, and on this part of my ear, I swear to you, on this part of my ear, there was a hair about 2 inches long, sticking straight out, just as proud. And I looked at it, I said, are you lost? Well, I mean, what is the reason for this, you know? I've not bumped into any walls or anything, there's no need for tentacles, you know what I mean? Hair in my nose, forget it. This stuff grows. I mean, if I don't cut this every 3 hours, I can get a foot. I mean, I could get stuff hanging down here, but I can't get anything up here. I cut the hairs around 3 o'clock, went on, did the business, showered, shaved, went to dinner, came back, and I take off my clothes, I go in the bathroom, and there's a gray one hanging straight out. I said, how long have you been there? He said, oh, all through dinner. My eyes. I'm not going blind. Just that I can't see like I used to. Anybody here have trifocals? Anybody with trifocals? Trifocals. I guess it's new or something. Put in some trifocals. My eye doctor, you need trifocals. I said, what for? He said, well, we'll fix these so you can see way far away. He said, then in the middle, you'll pick up things about 50 feet away. He said, then down here, you can read your medicine. So I'm sitting in the chair, he gives me the exam, he's okay, that's fine, now read for 50 feet away, and I'm going X-T-Y-O-H-P, 4, okay, now read, John said, take it, okay, grind them up, I come back 2 days later, put the glasses on, Now read. We do the whole thing. Fine. Okay. Trifocals. I can see any distance you want. You name it, I'll see it. You know, I get up to leave. And the door was way down there. I said, man, I don't remember the door being all the way down there. So I started walking, you know, just getting ready for a long walk, that's all. And then I passed it. I looked back around and the knob was right here. I said, oh, there you are. I opened the door, I go out to get the elevator. Elevators are way. I said, man, when did they change this building? So I put my finger out to press the button and I'm right on it. Now the elevator door opens and there's about four people in the thing, but they're way back. I looked at them, I said, why are you all way back there? But the thing to step on is up here. So I said, golly, man, they ought to fix this thing. You have to get up this high. And when I did that, this is in New York City, I did that and the people, oh, don't kill us, please. I said, oh, shut up. I'm trying to get in this elevator. Somebody help me, please. So the people took my leg, you know, and they helped me. And, you know, and I said, now, wait a minute. Take it easy. I don't want to hurt myself on this other part. They said, okay, you get it. And I got in the elevator, and the doors closed. And they were right here. I said, boy, this thing is really something, man. I backed up and they were right there. Now the door's open and I look and now I gotta go. This is about a 3-mile walk to the front. I said, golly, what kind of place is this? And then I was right there. The revolving door. So I go around the revolving door and I come outside. Traffic is way. But the curb was up here. And I gotta cross the street, so I got down on the ground. I try to get over this thing, man. So somebody tapped me on the shoulder, said, Mr. Cosby, I turned around and it was a giant eye. I said, what is this? And the lady said, can I have your autograph? I said, yes, but I don't sign for eyes. So I signed the thing, they had a big pad. And I stepped off the curb and then the traffic was way down there. And I got his ear, oh, God. Truck was really big, man. So I almost started to cry and I'm scared. And somebody said, are you all right? And I turned, it was an eyebrow. So I said to the eyebrow, please take me to a phone. I want to call my wife. So the guy walked with me and the phone booth was way down. But we got there in 2 steps. I said, boy, I must be walking good, man. So I got some change out and my hand was way down. Couldn't see what it, but then I looked at a quarter. Trying to find the hole. The hole was this big, man. Picked up the phone, I dialed my wife, 9. My wife picked up the phone, I said, dear, I have these glasses on, and the doctor put it in, got trifocals, and I swear, it's dangerous, I'm gonna get killed out here. I'm at 46 in Lexington, please come and get me before I get run over. So my wife said, idiot, take the glasses off and come home. But see, the beauty and the fun of it is when you're young, you really don't think that these things are going to hit you. You have no concept of it hitting you. I remember sitting in my grandparents' home, and my grandmother was sewing something, and she said, She said, would you do this for grandmommy, please? And I took that needle, man, and I didn't understand why her eyes were like that. I went, you understand? Pulled it right on out. There you are, grandma. Call me anytime. You know? Yeah. Don't even bring me a needle now. I have to start wearing my glasses. And that's another thing. You wear glasses and then you lose them. Can't find them. I lost my glasses like this one time. And I was mad too, boy. Somebody took my glasses. And people always moving things. Every time, moving something. Every time I put something down, people move it, and that's why I can't find stuff. The people would leave stuff where I put it. And they said, what are you looking for? And I wouldn't tell them. No, because when you tell them something, they said, we put it where it belongs. So I don't want to hear anything. I'll find my glasses. They've got to be around here somewhere. Glasses and people touch things and always taking something. Who am I in this house anyway? Who am I? Act like I'm some crazy person or something. They said, protect me from myself. We put it where it belongs, where it belongs. Can't put any glasses dropping. Now, where did I put the darn things? And I walked past the mirror. I said, I'm not telling anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody about this. Yeah, eyes, hair, body, mind. That's the worst part. Can't stop it either. It's not senility. My grandfather told me about senility. I'm not worried about that. My grandfather said, you become senile, you won't know it. This. When I was 15 years old, I remember listening to my mother and father's friends, 40-year-old old people. And they said, you know, my mind is playing tricks on me. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard in my life. I didn't say anything to them, but it doesn't make sense. How can your mind play tricks on you? If your mind is inside of your skull, it can't whisper without you hearing it or understanding it. So how the hell can it play tricks on you? Stupid. I was 15. It's not in the medical report. That I tell myself to go get something and I'm excited about getting it. I've walked farther in my house at age 48, because I told myself to go get something, and then when I got to the room, I couldn't remember why. No. This is serious. Because it isn't like my wife said to get it, so I said, well, it's not important. I'll remember it when I'm ready. I told myself to get up. And it wasn't that I walked 3 miles and had time to forget. It was a short walk. It was from here over to here in my house. How can I forget why I sent myself after something that was important? But something happens, I've walked farther in that house, whether it's upstairs or to another room, to get there and then not know why I'm here. But my body is excited about getting it. My body says, we're here, pick it up. And I said, pick up what? I'm talking to myself. My body said, pick it up. And I'm saying, why am I here? And my body said, I don't know. My job is just to pick up things. And my eyes, they tried to be so nice. They said, well, let's look around for it. Maybe we'll find it. And I said, good, find what? And my eyes said, we don't know. Our job is just to look around. I said, then why did you bring it up in the first place? And my eyes said, because we're tired of you arguing. And so I stand there in the room and I'm making circles looking around for something I don't know what the hell I'm looking for. And I get the feeling that in that room is the thing that I came to get, and it's looking at me and going, so I leave the room talking to myself. Now what did I go in there? I was sitting here and I said something. Get up and go. Why? I don't know. Your mind plays tricks. I believe that there's about 3,000 voices, and if one of them decides to trick you, it will tell you, get up and go to, and it knows you want it, so it tells you to go. You get up, you go there, and just as you step into that room, this thought leaves your brain, and it hides in your body. Now, where does it hide? Here. Yes, this is where it hides. You know how I know? Because when I go back, and I sit down, I say, you know, I go, oh, yeah, now I'm... That's where it is. So my suggestion to you is, when you're in the room and you can't remember what you came to get, no, not sit down. Take your hand like this. Don't let your children see you doing this now. And press real hard. That'll send it up to the brain. You'll remember why you came. What I'm talking about as you get older, how you can just, it just goes. Now the one I'm talking about, you're sitting. So I don't know where this thing hides. And this one says, call so-and-so. And you say, right. Pick up the phone and it'll give you the numbers. Now from here to here, that thing runs out of your brain, and now you're sitting there listening to a phone ring, and you have no idea who you're calling. Now, stupidity also goes hand in hand with this, because you could hang up if you want to. I mean, this is not a communist country. This is America. You can hang up if you don't know who the hell you're calling. But I'm just going to be stupid. I'm just letting this thing ring, and I hope the people know who I am. Now, they pick up the phone, and I still don't know who this is. They say, hello? So I say, hey, how you doing? And they say, who is this? And I hang up. Now they call me back. I say, hello? They say, did you just call me? I said, who is this? And they hang up on me. Pitiful. Pitiful. You gotta rebehave. Gotta learn how to live with it. I want my wife back because it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We've been married 23 years. It's lovely. I don't know how many of you just got married, maybe 2 years, maybe three, maybe 1 year, maybe a week, but it's wonderful. And don't be afraid to argue. I don't want you to make up an argument, but just don't be afraid to argue. You know, when you're newly married, you get so you're afraid to argue.
Oh God, is this it? Is this going to be this?
No, argue, let it out. First 2 years of our marriage, I had a ball. I had a ball. Because I'd look at my wife when I wanted to, and I'd say, row! Row! Row, row! Tears run down her cheeks, and she'd run upstairs and slam the bathroom door. And I'd sit downstairs, and I'd say, row, row. Row, 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 row. I don't know what happened to her in the third year. I don't know what happened. The communists got to her or something. But I remember distinctly, I looked at her and I said, row! And she said, "Harr!" Things haven't been right since. And sometimes, marriage, living with a person, you don't have to have conflict. You know, you haven't had an argument in 3-4 months. And last night was just wonderful. And you wake up and you look at your mate and he's the dumbest looking thing you've ever seen in your life. And he isn't doing anything, he's just there. But he just looks dumb to you. And you get angry with yourself for marrying somebody who looks this dumb. And he sits up and smiles, "Oh, how are you?" Looking dumb, smiling. And you go downstairs angry with yourself because you got to live for the rest of your life with somebody this dumb. You can't understand it. And he comes downstairs smiling and looking dumb. And he's got the nerve to say, "What's the matter with you this morning?" What is the matter with me? Why is it that there's always something wrong with me? How come there's never anything wrong with you? You know, you need to see a psychiatrist. But my mother and father, smooth, man. Don't argue long. And some people say, "Well, they're old people and they don't want a heart attack." No, that isn't it. That isn't it. It's just that I would imagine 50 years after a while, you learn what you want to burn your energy on. Because I hear the two of them talking to each other, and they will give up on a great opening. And you know, that's the fun part of life, man. Your wife leaves an opening like that, you drive right on in, man. Turn that thing around and grate it till she says, "Ow." But my mother and father won't even pick it up. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. They came to my house. My father took his hat off, put it in the chair. My mother sat in the chair next to him. Dad went over to the children. "Here's some money for you and the money for you and the money for you and the money for you." Came back, sat down on his hat. My mother's looking at him. So my mother said, "You just sat on your hat." My father said, "I know it." That was it. Now, if I left an opening like that for my wife, first she would have done a half hour of eye rolls and arm waves. It's time for him to leave. My father stood up, picked up his hat, did not fix it, put it on top of his head with the lumps and the dips all in it. My mother looked up at him, took his arm, they went out the door. My wife would have done another half hour. If you think I am going out the door with somebody with a hat on looking like that, you've lost your mind. I'm riding in the car with him. Father's driving, my mother's sitting on the passenger side. My father goes past the turn, 2 miles. My mother's sitting up front like this. I'm in the back like this. I said, Mom. She said, yes. I said, didn't Dad go past the turn? She said, yes. I said, well, why don't you say something to Dad? My mother said, your father knows what he's doing. My wife would have done a half hour on me. Would you please pull over so I can get a bus or a cab or something? I'd like to ride with somebody who knows where they're going. You know, this area has already been discovered. Wonderful.
The arguments that I have with my wife, I'm able to pay her back now. There was a time she was way ahead of me. After the third year, she would win every argument. Not that I was wrong, but she had this weapon she had developed. I'd make a statement, and I'd break out the Bible, Reader's Digest, and the encyclopedia, and I'd say, all three say exactly what I just said. And she'd say, and that sucking of the teeth, oh, it just tore me up. And then it just got inside of me, it just tore, you know, and I had no answer for it. And then the 15th year I was married, the weapon came. And now it gets to her just like gets to me, goes inside. I've always looked for something to just burn her up, man. It's a wonderful weapon, and husbands get it, but it takes 15 years for them to develop it, you know. I don't know why we take so long, but it's a fantastic weapon. My grandfather was the first one to have it. I didn't know he had it when I first saw it, because I was 6 years old. I was in their home, and we were playing a game downstairs, and my grandmother was upstairs. It was a two-story house. And my grandmother said, Russell! 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 And my grandfather just... And I looked at him. I said, Granddad? He said, yeah. I said, Granddad, Grandmom just called you. He said, who? I said, Grandmom, she's upstairs and she called you. He said, when? I said, just now. He said, And my grandmother came to the top of the steps. She still couldn't see him because we were in the back part of the living room. She said, Russell, will you come up here, please? And my grandfather was... I said, Granddad? He said, yeah. I said, she did it again. He said, who? I said, Grandmom just called you. He said, when? I said, oh, no. And my grandmother came downstairs. Veins were popping all over her neck. And there was a vein going down the center of her forehead. That thing was standing out about a foot. She said, you heard me call you, you know. And the halo came over my grandfather's head. He said, if I had heard you, my darling, my love, I wouldn't have come. I thought it was me. And I didn't know it was the weapon. And the next time I saw it, I was 15. My father had it then. My mother called my father. We were sitting in the living room, and I know my father was awake because I just finished saying something to him. And my mother called him, and he just sat there. Silence was in the living room. And she called again, and I said, Dad. He said, yeah.
I said, oh, man. This disease is running through this family. I said, Mom called you. He said, my mother came in, she had, you got out when I called you. He said, I didn't hear you. You did have you. I have the weapon now, boy. And I love it, man. Love it. Nothing gets to them worse than that, man. And they come in the room. My wife called me, man. I don't hear a thing, man. And they come, she comes in the room, and I love it, man. I said, I didn't hear a thing you said. And I know it's tearing her out. It kills them, because they know you heard them. But they can't prove it. Wonderful. Good life. Yes, my parents were lower economic people, sometimes on what we called relief, which is spelled welfare. 15th and the 30th of each month, the mailman was our best friend. And my mother said to me, and my father said to me, we want you to do. They said that to me, and I said yes, and I didn't. Because I was having fun, just having fun, because I had a feeling that no matter what, who needed it, it was going to be all right anyway. And it was falling, and every once in a while, it was all right. And I didn't need much, man. I just need to get some sneakers, put tape around them. If they start wearing out, I'm still playing ball. I still have friends. We're still having a good time. Didn't drink, didn't smoke, wasn't partying, no drugs, just having fun, man, just out there. And the teacher said, all right, read this and do that. And I'd take the books home. I took them home. And I put them down, and I went out and played, and I was going to read the things, but then it was time for dinner. People said, eat the dinner. So I ate the dinner, and then it was time for the radio program. I listened to the radio, and then it's time to go to sleep. And so I quit high school at age 19. Another 2 years, I would have graduated. And I was out. I was happy. My mother wasn't happy. My father wasn't happy. But I was happy. And I was downtown looking for a job. I was scouting places that I wanted to work in. And they joined the Navy. And I looked. So I signed up, came home, I told my mother I'd joined the Navy. She cried, oh, where are you going? He's just a baby, he's just going to bed. My father said, good move. Supposed to report down to the bus station, I did. I had no girlfriend, I wasn't unhappy, everything's all right, I'm ready to go away. This is a new life, new experience, bus ride going to Maryland, Bainbridge. Saw boys kissing the girlfriends. Girls crying, oh, they got a little so ready. Guys got on the bus, they cried on down the bus. Got to the place, reported in a little bag, toothbrush and thing. And I saw a man came over and he said, this is company 217. I'm gonna be in charge of you. Then he started to talk about our mothers. And he started talking about my mother. It wasn't personal. It was just a broad mother thing. That my mother had babied me, and I was not a man. And that he was going to make a man out of me in 6 weeks. Something my mother hadn't done in 19 years. And if he didn't make a man of me, I was going to the brig, which is jail. I had no idea that I was going to be penalized like that. And he went up and he talked in your face like this. And you couldn't do anything because you'd go to jail and you don't know what happened in the brig. They might shoot you. The man said, turn around after you're going to march. We marched to the barracks. Try to keep your head up. And they keep your head up. Marched in, and there was this wide open space. There's nothing, wood floors, and there's little teeny bunks, and little thing. Mattress was thin, and they had a blanket, just a blanket, and sheets, and that was it. This is where you're going to live. And I fired the following people, part of five. Herbert, Herbert, Cosby, Herbert, Harry. And this was my place. And little had lockers about this big. I put all of everything I owned into this thing like this. Y'all learn how to fold your clothes. You fold it. If you don't fold your clothes right, nothing will go in there. That we will have inspection every day. And that's, and he cursed the man. Had to pull it, cut it, study it. Not in the thing. And I'll cut you, I'll kick you in the fire, cut it, hope, have. I said, God damn, man, what kind of place is this? Man, I'm going to fight for my country. I'm going to beat this man up first. And I was 2,200. 2,200, that's it. 2,200, you know, I'm looking. I'll be back here at 0,400. And I want every living flabbergasted on the deck. That's the floor. When I come through and I tell her, I want every foot and every credit card of part. Didn't even say good night. Gone. So everybody, after he left, man, everybody started lighting up cigarettes and everything. Boy, that guy is something. Yeah, I'm going to write my alderman about that guy. I'm going to get rid of him right away. I don't need it. I started to fall asleep around 1 o'clock. 0,100. Woke up. This man woke us up. 0,400. Just as I was going into the second phase of that, I mean, where you really go and you don't hear anything. And this man came through, turned the lights on, and it's the first time I ever heard light. And I didn't know where I was, and I didn't know, and the first thing out of my mouth, I said, Mom! And this is, I'm not your mother! And he had a stick, and he put it in the trash can, in this metal can, and he started banging. And he stood there yelling, grab your socks, and get out of here. And I pulled the covers over me, and I wanted to yell back at him, you are rude. And I pulled the covers over me, man, shoot. The guy come in, waking people up, and I heard him walking, his footsteps. And he came to the bunk that was the first bunk, and mine was the second. And the kid in there, he was still sleepy. And man, he took his foot, he had a boot on, and kicked the bunk. Pow! And the kid jumped up and fell on the floor. Plow! He said, I'm gonna tell you. And the kid tumbled and started to wail on himself. He took the stick and he jammed it up on the second. Pow! Hit it. He didn't hit the kid. The kid just bam, fell on top of the other one. He said, but I'm tired of it. And he came around and I was dressed. Dressed I was. I'm standing there, had my pants on backwards and jersey inside out and shoe left shoe on the right foot, right shoe on the, both shoes on the same foot. And the man looked at me and said, you know, I like you. He said, you try. I said, thank you, sir. He said, don't talk to me unless you brush your teeth. And he went down that row and he started grabbing people and pulling covers and yanking and grabbing and throwing. I tell you to get up, you overfat. And I stood there, man. And I was scared to death. And I wanted to say things. I wanted to say, no, why do we have to? But I knew the man would put me in jail. He put all of us in jail. You talk back to him, this guy, and he kept a cigarette in his mouth. Cigarette was just hanging down like this, and the ash was about this long. Ash never fell off the cigarette. And smoke went up this nostril, and then he breathed it out through the other one. And the hat was cocked over this one eye, and he just looked at me and told you who your mother was and who your mother didn't do. Your mother didn't do anything for you. And got so mad you wanted to punch him, but you knew that then they would shoot you if you punched this man. And I'm calling my alderman. I don't care what's happening. I'm going to call and get my committeeman to get this man fired from this job. He doesn't know my father has pull. He said, fall out! And everybody went outside, and we stood outside in this pitch black. Pitch black outside, and I'm hurting. I want to cry because I don't want to go to sleep. And I got these clothes on. I don't know where I am. And this man is marching up and down. And it's 4:30 in the morning. And the enemy is not up at 4:30 in the morning. Who wants to fight at 4:30 in the morning? Nobody. You can't see anybody. How are you going to shoot somebody? You can't see him. This is stupid. And the man said, right face! And I was in the Boy Scouts, so I knew how to march. And I made a right face, and the kid was looking at me. So I said to the kid, you're facing the wrong way. And the man came, he didn't give the kid a chance, went over and kicked him in the shin. Roger! Now you remember that praying, that's your right side. Now turn around the right face! And the kid told him, stop crying, I'm not your mother! Forward! March! And we started to march. Now, I was in the Boy Scouts, I was in the Holly Briggs marching band, and I know when you march, you say, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. So I know that. But this man had some stuff. We were marching, head up, top, lip, peck, mod, hip, hop. Lily haunt, hip hop, lip hop, tail out, tail a pill, hobbly, tail at the ball. And I didn't know what the hell to do. I didn't know what a lump the hump would lay, lump head tip. And so we're going to hip on, lump the hip, hit lump. Hip. And one guy is stepping on my shoe, and you know, now my heel is out of the shoe, and I'm trying to. Head up, pump to praise, high, you know, and I turn around, man, don't do that. Hey, keep your tighter, nothing I can call you by the card, you're kind of tighter, fam. I'm laboring all too long, pump to praise. The man came out, what kind of, don't try to be soulful around here, just march. I said, but, no, no, but, everybody, turn on. Who do you think you're talking to? Who do you think I'm your mother? When I talk to you, you keep your face closed. Hard, hey! And the man didn't say much, he just said hey, and everybody just stood there. He went crazy. I know what I tell you, tomorrow ain't over. Everybody said to me, boy started crying. And now he's going, what have they given me? What have they given me? What is this that's going to fight against the enemy? People standing crying? When the enemy comes to kill you, is that what you're going to do? Well, everybody went crazy to kill the enemy. I just came in here because I got a girl pregnant. I didn't want to fight with anybody. And I don't understand what any of this is about. I can't talk back to anybody. I can't ask any questions. Just doing all this. I can't march. And it dawned on me then. I wanted to then ask if I could see the company commander. I wanted to see the company commander. Yes, I've only been there less than a day. If I can talk to the company commander, and I want to tell the company commander, sir, I want to thank the Navy for what it has done for me. I now know what I want to do in this life. No, sir, I want to go to college. I really want to go to college. Now, I know I haven't graduated from high school, but from the way I feel, I can go to college and high school at the same time. And if I fall below a B, please, you could take me right back in this Navy, but I am going to study, I tell you. And as a matter of fact, I know two fellas who should be in the Navy right now. So if I bring you two of them, then you let me out. I'm going to college and high school at the same time because I want to thank the Navy for what it has done for me. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about motivation. Parents don't get enough credit for what they've gone through. George Washington, George's father, did not know that this kid who cut down the cherry tree was the George Washington. Oh, they tell you in the school, George Washington cut down his father's cherry tree and his father came home. And his father said, George, why did you cut the cherry tree down? And George said, Father, I could not tell a lie, for it was I, and that's all I know. And his father said, because you're so honest, I won't punish you. And that's all the mention you have of George Washington's father. You don't even know George Washington's father's real name, except his name was George Washington's father. No credit given whatsoever to the man who let this boy live. Now, you know, you come home and there's your kid and he's cut down a tree. And you gotta say, what the hell did you cut the tree down for? And he says, I cannot tell a lie, for it was I. Of course you can't tell a lie, you're the only child. Nobody else here to cut a tree down. And his father had to go to work. You know what my dumb kid did, man? I come home and there's a tree laid out. He doesn't know why he did it. So you take him to a psychologist. Psychologist says, well, he's interested in forestry. George Washington's father did not know he was going to become the George Washington. Yet, there is no George Washington's father's international airport. He let that boy live not knowing what he was going to become. And even when your children become middle-aged or whatever, you don't know what they're going to do. Benjamin Franklin's parents in the house looking out the window. There's their son standing on a hillside in the middle of an electrical storm, flying a kite with a big iron ring on the end of the string, asking for a bolt of lightning to hit him. The neighbors loved it. Come here, look at the Franklin boy. Come here. And the lightning hit, and the middle of his hair fell out, and he went home in his clothes and smoking. He said, you know, I found it. They didn't know he was the Benjamin Franklin. Yet there is no Mr. and Mrs. Benjamin Franklin Mall. And they let that boy live. I was 11 years old in the projects. August, 174 degrees Fahrenheit. Playing basketball. That's out shooting baskets, jumping, and my mother came out and said, do you know how hard it is? Get in the house. Mama, what did you do? You get in this house right now. You know you can get a stroke and a heat stroke and a stroke. Get in the house. And I said, but Mom, she said, you do it. And I went in the house so mad, I sat down hard on the sofa. couldn't even breathe good. My father came by and said, Dad, Mom won't let. My father said, you do what your mother says. And I stood up and looked him in both eyes. And I said, I hate both of you. And I'm running away from home. And my father lifted me up over his head and said, how far do you want to go? He didn't know I was the Bill Cosby.
Thank you. Good night. Good night. Thank you. Thank you.